Once again, it is time for Real News, and it's a time where we spend a few minutes with Brian Ross, and we take a look at the stories that are happening not only around United States, but around the globe as well. And I guess, Brian, we can talk balloons and drones. The Russians, though, over international waters, did some crazy stuff by dumping fuel on a drone and then actually bringing it down.
Right, and we clipped the propeller, which brought it down. It's crashed. Apparently, there's a race on now to try to recover it. And the U.S. and Russia, you know, are at odds here. And certainly, according to the U.S., this happened in international waters over the Black Sea, which, you know, the Russians patrol. And, you know, the John Kirby at the National Security Council says the this happens all the time, apparently. I didn't realize that, but that's what's going on.
Well, it's, you know, it's the tit for tat. But in today's modern age, one little mistake could have huge consequences.
Precisely. And, you know, apparently the Secretary of Defense Austin was talking to his counterpart in Moscow, trying to make sure that did not happen. But obviously very tense times. And the Russians say it's more proof that the U.S. is directly involved in the war with Ukraine, which is a place the U.S. doesn't really want to be. They don't want to give the U.S. They don't give the Russians an opportunity to blame the U.S. or to attack U.S. interests. So obviously of great concern. And this is the kind of thing you have when you have these kind of tensions going on. And clearly we are helping to arm Ukraine along with so many other allies. And the Russians don't like it. So this raises the stakes quite a bit.
And speaking about Ukraine, Governor DeSantis said the support is not vital in the national interest. The GOP got mad at him, but this is where Zelensky is smart. Zelensky immediately invited him to come over and talk and take a look.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely.
What are the chances of that happening?
I think they're slim, but you know, that's one way to deal with it. And it's you know, a lot of pushback from sort of what we might call the remaining few sort of mainstream Republicans. There are plenty of Republicans in Congress that, you know, criticized DeSantis and Trump, who earlier did that. So, but I guess our foreign policy, as is always the case, will become an election issue. It doesn't seem to me like now that that's a winning issue for DeSantis or Trump, but they're clearly picking up on something that there is, unease in the American public about how far we go in supporting Ukraine and what's the exit strategy.
All right. And we can't ignore the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that is the U.S. economy and the banking system. You know, I've been saying for a long time, Brian, I've been seeing all these used car dealers and car dealers really preying on low-income people with high-interest loans. And I said to myself, you know, this is going to wind up exactly what happened with houses, except with cars. But then to see what happened with this bank out in the Silicon Valley, and I think what most people don't understand, this isn't a normal bank. These people that deposit in there deposit $250,000 and up. I really think it's a warning signal that things are starting to get out of control in the banking sector again.
Well, and that's in part because these banks used to be under stricter regulatory supervision. And during the Trump administration, the banks, including some prominent former Democratic congressmen, pushed hard to loosen the regulations on so-called medium-sized banks. And they successfully did that. Now, whether that led to this or would have been spotted earlier, hard to know, but that's certainly what many people think. But strangely, I thought, you know, the former Democrat who was the Dodd-Frank guy, Barney Frank, became a member of the board of one of these banks that was shut down. He claims the change in regulations, which he pushed for, didn't have anything to do with this, but we'll see.
Well, what's interesting about this, people were saying, well, it's not going to affect your local bank or your, but when you have all these people that are in hedge funds and all these dot-com businesses, their money ends up hiring people. And when they lose $250,000 to $500,000 to $750,000 a shot, that's got to have an effect on the economy.
Well, you know, it's a case of the jitters, what's going on right now, and rightly so. Another big bank, Credit Suisse, is also said to be on the ropes. The Saudis, who are some of their biggest backers, have apparently refused to put more money into it. And late Wednesday, Swiss officials said they'd be glad to make sure that Credit Suisse remains viable, and they'll back whatever they can, essentially to stop another run on that bank. But this case of the economic jitters, sooner or later that will affect us, all of us.
It just it's a domino theory. It definitely will affect us. And there's I just don't. I think that we all should be concerned, but I don't think that you should go to your local bank and take your money out. It's a long way from that.
Right, and when those of us who have under $250,000 in the bank, we are protected by the FDIC, so that's not a worry. But for these large companies that had billions of dollars in these banks out in California and elsewhere, there was a point over the last weekend where they thought they wouldn't get their money and they couldn't even meet payroll. So that was what was, the federal government said we'll guarantee all these payments. The White House says that's not a bailout. I'm not sure what you'd call it, but in any case, that was meant to sort of stem the panic. But that has continued through this week, and we'll see what happens by the end of this week.
All right. Once again, we're speaking with Brian Ross. It's Real News. We'll take a look at some things across the world. And this is a pretty interesting story because we have strained relations with China as it is. The United States has now accused a Chinese tycoon of a $1 billion fraud. They seized more than $630 million from multiple bank accounts. That's a story that's hanging in the wings.
Absolutely. And of course, this is no ordinary Chinese tycoon. This guy was in business with Steve Bannon, the Trump backer and supporter who already got one pardon from the president before Trump left office, and is probably under scrutiny again because of it. He's already charged with contempt of Congress. But here's his pal, in a massive con, in a classic scam. He used the money for a yacht and fancy mansions, and that's who Steve Bannon was hanging out with.
All right, and coming out of San Francisco, it's an interesting story. San Francisco has a reparation plan to give $5 million to African American or a black residents. They become the first U.S. city to fund reparations. This thing, if it goes through, will obviously become a campaign issue.
Well, yeah, $5 million for every black citizen in San Francisco. I think that will be a big issue. I mean, what I've read about, it's not clear exactly how they're going to pay for that and who qualifies. And if you were a black person, you might want to move to San Francisco right away.
It's just I hope it's not a the Democratic Party and I'm hey I'm more than a liberal. I'm a progressive, but sometimes us progressives come up with the damnedest ideas that hurts our party more than helps it.
Yeah, I hard to know how that's going to have great resonance in the 2024 campaign. I think that we've already seen, and I think you probably want to get to this. We've already seen the White House under President Joe Biden take some positions that are hardly what you'd call progressive, especially his approval of this oil drilling site up in the North Slope of Alaska, which was opposed by almost every environmental group, but supported by virtually both sides in Alaska and even the indigenous people there. And by approving it, as the White House did, and then sort of fencing off the rest of the North Slope for no more discovery or drilling, he's taken away a Republican talking point. He really has. It's a political move. It's angered those on the left and progressives like yourself, Marshall. But you have to take a look at the real politics going on at the White House. They are clearly gearing up to deprive the Republicans of some easy talking points.
Well, I'm a progressive, but you have to take the long view on things. And a lot of progressives and a lot of progressives in power don't take the long view, meaning that if they want the whole loaf, they should start off by with all their plans, getting the quarter of a loaf, and over time try to work out their goals. But the long view never has been part of the progressive part of the party, and that's what hurts the party more than anything else.
Right. And I think, the calculation by the White House is that they're not going to really have a primary challenge from the left. And they're looking at the general election. And, one of the points has been, why isn't the U.S. producing more oil so that we don't have to be dependent on Russia or anybody else? And now President Biden has taken this step, which, as I understand it, could produce as many as 160,000 barrels a day if up and running.
And this is a story that keeps on going, even though Roe versus Wade has been altered. Once again, we'll leave it up to Texas. A judge in Texas is now considering revoking the Food and Drug Administration's approval of an abortion pill in the United States.
Yes, indeed, a federal judge, whatever happens, that's going to be appealed. But it tells you that continues to be a very contentious issue. As those who oppose abortion, almost in any case, continue to find ways to keep women from making the choice that others think they have the right to make, including the prescriptions. And for instance, Walgreens has decided it's not going to sell that pill anywhere, regardless of whether it's legal or not.
Well, interesting stories that are floating all about it. Ourself here, I'll announce this that Comcast has started wiring in Sharon already on one of the streets. They were stringing wires yesterday and today, not yesterday, but started today, so that that great commission that put this together and got this deal with Comcast for Sharon is seeing the beginning of it right now. It's going to take a while because Comcast has to get approval from the people that own the telephone poles, which is Frontier and also the power company. But it's good to see that this is starting right away. And our good friends in Cornwall are going to get high-speed internet from Opt Online. So we're getting there slowly but surely, where people can join the 21st century, Brian.
Right. I think it's a real game changer for our town and other towns here, and in part funded by money in the Infrastructure Improvement Act passed in the last Congress. But I think it's a real game changer and gives the opportunity for more growth in our community, allows people to work remotely here at the same internet speed that they would if they're sitting in the middle of New York City.
Absolutely. All right, Brian's have some fun in the snow, and we'll speak to you next week.
Looking forward to it, Marshall. Have a good day.
Take care.